from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, yeah. Energy's good on a Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Hell yeah. Tuesday, worst day of the week. FYI.
Oh.
But yeah. In my personal rankings, I've got Tuesday at the bottom of the list.
I thought we just...
But the energy's good today.
We should just skip days.
Just, yeah, we're taking Tuesdays off.
Just go full Buddy
Hield.
No, Monday. I mean, just act like it didn't exist.
Oh.
Yeah, just go full Buddy Hield.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Skip that year.
Okay, great. Oh, no. I thought maybe I was missing a bit where Buddy didn't like a day or something, but yeah, no, it's Wednesday. Welcome to Wednesday, everyone. That's James and Kyle. We're hanging out with you for the next couple of hours. We'll be here till noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. Appreciate everybody listening on ESPN 1320. Appreciate everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320. If you want to watch there and, of course, hang out in the Chatty House, you will hear us reference the Chatty House throughout the show. That is where we get all of our content. They produce this show because it's just me and James. If you would like to call the program, please do. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. We don't have a call screener here, again, because it's just me and James. So if you call, it'll ring until I can hit the button, and then you'll hang out there until we bring you in. So if you want to call the show, again, the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, a healthy life starts with healthy food. 916-909-1320. James, before we get into playoff games from last night and some NFL schedule stuff that has come out today, I saw some response to our conversation about Brandon Ingram yesterday.
Okay.
And you had laid out a trade where it was a 3-team deal where the Kings are giving up Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, and...
Chris Duarte.
Their 2024 first-round pick would go to Atlanta.
Which they already owe Atlanta a pick anyways.
Right, so they would be picking up their 2025 pick, basically.
Yeah.
They would be they would be ridding themselves of the Kevin Huerter trade.
Yes.
It would be done this year. Then they'd give up their 2027.
2026 and 2028.
26 and 28, right, not 27 or 29. 26 and 28. So they're giving up those picks to acquire Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
In a 3-team deal.
Where Trae Young would go to the Pelicans. The Pelicans would give up a first.
Yeah. So yeah. One of the responses I saw, and again, this is a small sample size on the internet, but I know that there are some people who probably have the same thought process. So I kind of want to walk through it here at the top of the show and just continue our discussion from yesterday. So one of the responses I saw was, well, there's no way the Hawks would do that. Like, well, they might. If they decide they're going to blow it up this offseason, that's a really good deal for them.
Yeah,
they're getting a bunch of picks.
Because in this deal, we're talking about the equivalent of like 3.5 picks, first round picks.
Yeah, right. And so, and again, there's another, 2025 first from New Orleans?
Yeah, yeah, that's what we had. Yeah. 2025. I, to be honest, I haven't even made sure New Orleans has their 2025.
Sure.
Something
but
like
a,
that.
A first from New Orleans.
A first from New Orleans.
Sure. Anyways, there's definitely a realm where that's a possibility. But I saw some people, and you were responding to I think, one person online last night who basically said, well, I'm not doing 3 first-round picks for Brandon Ingram.
Mm.
And my question is, because that was kind of my knee-jerk reaction as well. When you first sent that to me, you said, who says no? And I was like, well, for me, it's the Kings. Because I was just kind of out. I'm not a big believer in Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
But it's partly because there's an inherent risk there. A, with his injury stuff. B, with what he's going to give you on a night-in, night-out basis. Like, can he be that go-to guy on a team that wants to contend for a championship? I have questions about that. But on the other hand, if you're hoarding these picks, okay, if a draft picks mean that much, which again, if you're good, they don't. And if you're projecting out like the Kings are by 2028, you're still going to be in the mix. Still should be pretty good.
Yeah, that ideally. Pick should be in the 20s.
Ideally, right.
Yes.
So maybe even 30. But that's kind of ideally where things fall. If you're not trading for Brandon Ingram, if you're saying those picks are off limits when it comes to Brandon Ingram, then who are they there for, realistically? And that's kind of the question that I have, because if it's go or get off the pot for the Kings at this point, for me. Like, you can't, if you're sitting there going, we're going to hang on to our picks, oh, and Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and Davion Mitchell and Chris, these are all assets that we're going to hang on to until, like, the exact right perfect move. If you're working in a window that is this big, if you're not watching, my hands are very close together. If you're working in a window that big, then it's never going to come for you.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you're at a point where it's all in time.
You have to do something.
Well, you don't have to do something to do something. You have to do something because you're not good enough.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's like, it's a harsh reality, but that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're not good enough. That finishing at 46 and whatever they finish at, 46 sure. and 36, whatever yeah. it was. That's not good enough. It wasn't good enough to get you into the playoffs. 2 more wins, 5 more wins, you're safe, you're dancing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't good enough. So how do you reload? How do you get back to where you were last season? But you just lost a year. So now you got to not only take that, but you need to do more. You need to take the next step, which is to go from a solid playoff team to a playoff contender,
mm-hmm.
and like to a contender. And like, there's not a lot of ways to do that. And there also aren't a lot of players that are just going to be available, Kyle. And that's why when a player like this, that is good like this, that's averaged well over 20 a game for many years of his career, who was a one-time all-star and could get back to an all-star status, who's only 26 years old,
mm-hmm.
who you likely could lock up to a long-term deal if the money works.
Mm-hmm.
These players don't just like come around every day. It's
nope.
He also plays for the team that punked you 6 times this year. So for those of you out there like, Brandon Ingram isn't very good. Well, he played on a team that ran you over 6
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have some warts? Yeah. Every NBA player does so.
That's it. That is exactly it. And the players who don't aren't going to be available.
Yeah.
Because our teams are going to keep them. Like, the Pelicans want to move on from Brandon Ingram because of those warts. They believe that they are maxed out with their roster the way it is, and they want to move on from him to try and acquire a different superstar.
Well, that and on top of that, they also have a young player who's developed behind
yes.
him and is ready to take that job that
yes.
they won't have to pay as much money.
Yes.
So
exactly.
You're to a point where you have to make a move with Brandon Ingram, and it's not because you want to just get rid of him. It's because your team isn't good enough if mm-hmm. you're the Pelicans as well, and you need to make some move that, mm-hmm. that helps you. And just because he looks one way on the Pelicans, he could look totally different on the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone needs to like realize, that there's a possibility that he is a perfect fit. There's also a possibility yeah. he doesn't fit at all, and you're like, this was not great, but at least we have a 26, 27-year-old under contract now that we can go trade to somebody else if we need to.
And that's where, that is the crux of all of this. If they, let's just, again, we're going to go to the hypothetical world where this is the deal that they
yeah.
make for Brandon Ingram. If if they make that move and it doesn't work, that is so much easier for me anyway. To deal with and to accept
mm-hmm.
than, oh, well, the perfect move wasn't there. Mikal Bridges is the player that we had as the perfect guy, and you know, we just couldn't swing a deal for him, so we're gonna run it back.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be not I would so much rather take a swing on Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, again, I'm not even like a Brandon Ingram guy. I had problems with him going into the play-in game against the Kings. We talked about it. I was like, I'm not scared of Brandon Ingram going and giving you 30.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do that consistently enough. But I would so much rather take a swing on a player like that. This isn't some 31-year-old. This isn't a guy in his mid-30s who's looking to get one last max contract who might give you 50 games, and then he's a question mark if he's going to be available in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, there's been availability problems for sure, but I'm taking that risk over. I would so much rather go get Brandon Ingram than Jimmy Butler or Paul George at this point. I know. In fact, you know what? D'Lo and Casey asked you this yesterday, and I was listening in my car, and I was pulling into my garage, and they asked you this, and I waited for you to answer, but then you brought up that the Chatty House during their show is sponsored by Matthews Mattress, and then they started launching into a mattress thing, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I had to go inside. I left my phone. That's why I didn't turn it on the Odyssey app. So I didn't get your answer. Paul George or Brandon Ingram?
Well, I think it would have to be Brandon Ingram at this point.
I agree with you.
I mean, you're looking
like
at
Paul
a player.
George, but...
I love Paul George, and mm-hmm. like Paul George is an excellent scorer. He's still a really good defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he checks all the boxes, but the problem is he's 33 going on 34, and he mm-hmm. wants $50 million a year.
Yep.
And you're going to have a really tough time getting value out of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather take a risk with a younger player who was a former All-Star who hasn't reached the heights,
yep.
but that might find something very similar to what De'Aaron Fox found, is that when you play with Domantas Sabonis, you all of a sudden are a lot more open. You have a mm-hmm. lot more freedom to move around, and you can be a lot more impactful.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who you run the entire offense through like they do with Zion,
mm-hmm.
except for he is a willing passer and looking for the pass more than he is for the shot,
mm-hmm.
where Zion is the opposite. And man, I just like, I think he could be really, really good in Sacramento. And he's on a short list. Like, mm-hmm. there's a short list of players. People talk about, you know, Mikal Bridges all the time. Like, look, when they traded for Mikal Bridges, somebody offered them 5 first-round picks for Mikal that day. And mm-hmm. they said no. And they're still saying no to 3, 4 mm-hmm. first-round picks from teams. So, mm-hmm. like, when you're talking about this deal that we brought up,
mm-hmm.
it's really only 2 first-round picks. Because you already owe them the other pick.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're giving them a pick either this year or next year.
Either this year, next year, or the year after. And if it's right. not next year, it's because you didn't make the playoffs again. And then yeah. all hell breaks loose here yeah. in Sacramento.
Yeah. So we'll talk about who that perfect player is coming up. And that's kind of where the next step of this discussion is. But for me, you're projecting this team to be good. The picks don't matter at that point. You have to make a move. You have to go get a player who's going to improve your roster. And regardless of what you think about Brandon Ingram, he would certainly improve their roster. But we'll keep talking about that and trying to define what the perfect player is for the Kings. And okay, if you don't want to go get Brandon Ingram, who would you be happy go getting realistically? It can't be Jason Tatum. That's not really. It'd be great, but it's not realistic. Piece of news from this morning, in case you missed it, the 49ers week 1 game has been announced. They will be at Levi's Stadium to take on the Jets on Monday Night Football. It is their first first week 1 game at home since 2020. That was also a year after they lost the Super Bowl. They lost to the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm.
And then the 2020 season was a disaster. So buckle up. Buckle up, everybody. The NFL schedule gets fully released tomorrow, but there will be leaks and stuff coming out throughout today and into tomorrow. So we'll keep you updated on that as they come out right here on ESPN 1320. But let's keep talking Kings. When we come back, we'll also talk some NBA playoffs today as well. All right, that's what we got coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. He's James. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, caller, I see you on the line. Hang in there for just 1 second for us. Hey, before we get back to the Kings and finding the perfect player and who they should trade for this offseason, etc., Bronny James' measurements were tough.
Yeah.
He was listed at 6'3", I think, at USC, and he measured in at 6'1.5".
Yeah, that's
210.
Tough. He's a brick.
Unit.
Yeah, he's a like thick fella.
Yeah, he is. But man, people were talking, he's undersized at 6'3". 6'1". Oof.
Yeah, 6'1". I think it was 6'1.5", something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still like basically
6'7" wingspan though.
Yeah, he's gonna play at like 6'3", basically.
Sure.
You know, like it's just kind of the way that they do these things. Yeah, 6'7.25" wingspan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good laugh about Kyle Filipowski.
This is the T-Rex class, dude.
It is a T-Rex class. I don't know that I've ever seen this before. Kyle Filipowski, at Duke, right? I'm almost positive Duke, center.
Yeah.
He measures in at 6'10.75" without shoes.
Okay.
His wingspan, 6'10.5".
I've literally never seen that.
I don't think I've ever seen a player who's taller than his wingspan.
You've covered a million NBA drafts. I've done a bunch of NFL drafts.
I don't know.
That's so hard to do, is to have a wingspan shorter than your height. Very odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. I've also always wondered in the NFL, they do arm length and wingspan, particularly for like offensive linemen. If you're an offensive tackle and your arms are like 31.5 inches, like no chance, you're playing guard. But it's weird because they measure that from the shoulder to the tip of the middle finger.
Okay.
Is how they measure arm length. But as an offensive lineman, you're not blocking like this. You're blocking like this. So what if you have massive hands? And your arm length is the same, or you have small hands, so now your arm length is like 32 inches when somebody else is like 34.5, but really it's just because their hands are bigger.
So you think they should measure from the extended palm?
Yeah, exactly. Like you bend your wrist and you go to the
for NBA players, you also should be like measured to your shoulder. We should also have the up to your shoulder height.
Yeah.
Because then it like wipes out, you know, the anomaly. Yeah, the
pause?
Like
pause all of this. Just go ahead.
The Roy Hibbert, like,
sure,
who from his shoulders up is like 18 inches tall.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but that would eliminate some of that. Like I need to know how high someone's shoulders are.
Yeah. His the height of his
yeah, like,
noggin is not gonna help him block shots.
I think Noah Vonleh was like 5'7" at his shoulders. Like he's like a normal size human, and then with like a really tall head and neck.
Can I tell you an embarrassing story about Noah Vonleh?
Uh-oh.
For the longest time, I thought his name was Vonleh. Because you know, watching a Warriors game, and he go kicks it out to Vonleh. Like, oh, okay. Oh. It's just a first name, last name type of deal. 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. Don, what's going on, man?
This is Brandon. I think wrong name.
Oh, sorry about that, Brandon. Our call screener got it wrong. What's up, Brandon?
No worries, man. Hey, I really love the idea of Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. For plain and simple fact, too, if Fox were to be down for some time, I think it gives you another all-star player to help you win some extra games. My only question is, I know we're really big on wanting to re-sign Monk. With the trade that you guys laid out, do those contracts kind of cover to where we could re-sign Monk and still sign Brandon Ingram?
Good call. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get complicated no matter what, right? The Kings are going to have to end up going into luxury tax if they want to have a great team. And you also have the problem that that, you know, we're only 2 years away from Keegan Murray getting a big pay increase as well. The question is, do you have a championship caliber team that you're putting on the court?
Yep.
And is that team worth what it is that you're trying to go out and do?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a possibility that you know, a group that included De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk and Brandon Ingram and, you know, Keegan Murray and, you know, again, Domantas Sabonis, and either, well, you still would have Trey Lyles. You would still have one of Herter or Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still, this is a really quality team.
Yeah.
And then you still have Keon Ellis at on, a, like, so eventually, sure, you're going to run into the problem that somebody's going to be paying a bunch of money in luxury tax.
Yep.
But for right now, that's the squad you're running with, and you got, you know, maybe a 5-year window here where, like, could you make noise?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is you probably can.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Drew Down, what's going on?
Hey, what up, Kyle? What up, Ham? I just want to correct you guys. Ham, you keep saying that Chris Paul has $15.8 million guaranteed this year. That's not correct. That was for last year. Per the SpoTrack website, 2023-2024, $15.8 fully guaranteed on 6/28/2023. That was for last year. 2024-2025 is non-guaranteed, but they have to make that decision by 6/28/24. If they decide to not, they can release him for nothing, but they do not owe him $15.8 million, no matter what. That was for last year's contract. This 2024 is fully non-guaranteed, so I just wanted to clear up that.
Yeah, that's what SpoTrack says. You're right, you're down. You're down.
My man. Thanks, Drew. Right. Yeah. My bad, Doc. I was playing the applause.
My bad, Don.
All right, so yeah, Chris Paul, non-guaranteed.
Yeah. It's my bad. It was last year that he was guaranteed partially at 15.8.
Yeah, I misread that too. All right. Well, there it is.
All right.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, assets, everybody.
Et cetera. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. My bad for hanging up on you there, Drew. I thought we were done. Jeremy Grant came up at the break. We were talking about players the Kings could go get because, you know, Brandon Ingram has come up the last couple of days. The Pelicans have said they're going to make him available, or at least it's been reported that the Pelicans are going to make him available, and that is the type of player that the Kings could go get. Now, there's some people who are all in. Believe mm-hmm. Yeah, Brandon Ingram, that's the guy. I think Brandon the caller, made a good point that, yeah, hey, when De'Aaron Fox is out, Brandon Ingram is a legit guy who can go get you buckets, who can go score for you. You're still going to run the course of your offense, and that's the thing that really jumps out to me when you talk about how the Kings can improve and what this player could bring them. It's that, dude, there's 3 minutes left and it's a tie game. You got to put your offense away and you just need a guy to go score. Get the ball into somebody's hands and they got to go get you a bucket. Right now they have Fox. And that's the only player they can consistently rely on to do that. Brandon Ingram would give them another option and just make it more difficult to defend in those spots.
Well, yeah, plus you have to look. Monk can do that as well, but Monk as of right now is not on the roster.
Correct.
Right? Well, he's not going to be on the roster come July, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, unless the Kings are able to retain him, right?
Yeah.
The thing with Ingram, I think people are missing too, is the guy averages over 5 assists per game. Mm-hmm. So he's not just a guy who, again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, he wouldn't just create for himself, he creates for others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that eventually you hope that Keegan Murray gets to,
mm-hmm.
but he's like 2 years away from that.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing. Like, you want him to develop at like a normal rate, and you know, I think you would have two like very switchable wings. Not like, look, this is all pie in the sky. We have no mm-hmm. idea. Like, there might not be any way for the Sacramento Kings to get in on the Brandon Ingram sweepstakes.
Sure. That's the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
They may try and get involved with the Cavs and the Magic and the Sixers, I think, were in there too.
Yeah.
From Mark Stein's report. And they may just not be able to keep up.
No, totally. I think that could totally be the case. But if you're looking at certain teams that are out there, I mean, do you just want to give a player to the Philadelphia 76ers for nothing? Like, that's not what they're trying to do here. They're trying to get better. At the same time, they're trying to rebalance their roster. And it makes sense for the mm-hmm. Pelicans. It does.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because you have a young player who's coming up and you're going to have to pay that player and you're going to have to pay a couple other players on your roster that are improving and eventually are going to get big paydays.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, so it does make sense for them to move on from him. It mm-hmm. just really depends on what they want. If They just want draft picks. Okay, the Kings could probably just throw a bunch of draft picks at him and say, this is what our offer is, and does that offer measure up to someone else's offer? But if it comes down to, hey, look, we want a star-level player, the Kings don't have that, that's where you have to involve a third team who's also in a pattern where they might look to move off of a star player and are looking to reset their roster because they may or may not have just landed the number one pick in the draft. Just saying.
Shout out to the Hawks.
Shout out to the Hawks.
We will keep talking about this throughout the day, but we're going to talk about some NBA playoff action last night. The Mavs-Thunder game last night might have been the best game of the postseason. We'll talk about that. And I have a Kings playoff question I was going to ask you yesterday. I will ask you that today, right here on the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we are on ESPN 1320. That's Sacramento Sports. Later!
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Naturally, cereal came up in the chatty house during the break. Look, I don't usually eat like a breakfast. I'll eat something. I have peanut butter and rice cakes that I eat during the week.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll do yogurt, and every now and then we'll do, you know, the bacon and eggs kind of thing. I just miss cereal. Corn Pops, Fruit Loops, Fruity Pebbles, Apple Jacks, Rice Krispies, Trix, Lucky
Cocoa
Charms.
Cocoa Krispies, so you Cocoa get the chocolate milk.
Right. Whatever you were into as a kid, and maybe into now. I'm not, this isn't a judgment thing. I just stopped eating cereal at some point in my life.
I think it's called adulthood.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. My wife the other day poured up a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Ooh.
Little late night bowl of CTC. Late night bowl. Yeah, so you know. Buddy,
You had to go get your own spoon?
No, I didn't. I wanted to, though. And it just, I wish I could eat it without knowing that it would just wreck me. Just with the amount of sugar and stuff in it, I know what my body is capable of and not in terms of food consumption. And I just know that if I ate a bowl of that, it would be a problem for me. But God, I miss it. It tasted so good.
See, I love Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
The best. I really enjoy Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
Yeah.
Just destroy the roof of your mouth, but it hurts so good.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, so I but again, I'm not...
Peanut butter Captain Crunch, very slept on, in my opinion.
See, I don't like the variants. When they start doing all these crazy variants on the cereal, I'm like...
It's not a variant. It just tastes like peanut butter.
Okay. No, but what I'm saying is like, Captain Crunch is Captain Crunch. We don't need to mess with it.
Okay.
Like, you don't need to have like peanut butter Captain Crunch. You can make another cereal that has peanut butter that's not Captain Crunch. Like Jiffy Crunch. I don't know.
Jiffy Crunch?
I'm just saying.
Jiffy Crunch?
I'm just saying something
if
different.
If you say Jiffy Crunch to me, to my face again, we're going to have a problem. No, it's just Captain Crunch. It's just they use that branding and then they look like Crunch Berries, but they're peanut butter.
Okay.
They're delightful. And honestly, I believe the Chatty House is anti Magic Spoon. I'm very pro Magic Spoon. The peanut butter Magic Spoon is delightful.
See,
it's my favorite
know.
Flavor of Magic Spoon.
I don't know Magic Spoon.
I'm a big fan.
I think
they
I'm
want to
too,
sponsor the show this
I'm
show.
Too old for Magic Spoon. I don't
They're
know.
They're not. It's for old people. Oh. Who want to taste the now there's some that don't hit. There's definitely some flavors that don't hit.
Okay.
For sure. But the peanut butter one, it goes. It's a little pricey. A little pricey for your boy.
All right.
$10 a box is wild.
Oh, wow.
It's good, though. And it doesn't have all the sugar and stuff in it. That's why it's... But that's also why some of the flavors are a little funky.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got that fake sugar taste.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, it doesn't go great. Anyways, love Magic Spoon. I will tell you how awesome all the flavors are if they want to sponsor the show. Playoffs last night. Usually the way we do this when we talk playoffs is we talk about the first game first and the second game second. We're going to talk about the second game first today, though, because the Thunder beat the Mavericks 100-96. And there's so much to take away from this game, but I was so certain the Thunder were losing that game. It had the feel of the Cavs-Celtics game from earlier. It had the feel of that Timberwolves-Nuggets game from Sunday, where the trailing team was just never going to quite get over the hump. And I know Cleveland at one point took a lead against the Celtics, but once the Celtics retook the lead, it was done. They pulled away. And you know, the Cavs get it to 7, but I think at one point they got it to 5 or 6 in the fourth and then just couldn't get that stop in the bucket to make it a one-possession game. And I thought that's what was going to happen to the Thunder, especially because you go, okay, this is where the playoff experience thing kicks in. It's crunch time. The Mavs have two of the all-time crunch time guys, two players that if you're making a short list of players you want taking a big shot, they've got two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Thunder just outplayed them down the stretch. Just outworked them. They hit the big shots and the Mavs didn't. I was super impressed by OKC last night.
Yeah, I was too. And I would point out that, you know, there are things that players do in the league that teams do in games that are like sustainable. And some of them that aren't, right? So we always talk about like when a team gets on a heater and starts a game like 12 of 17 from three,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, like, look, they're probably not going to shoot 24
yeah, yeah, yeah.
for 34 from three.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they're going to beat you by like 25
right.
to 37.
That's how the game's right? going to go. Yep.
Yeah. The way that game was going, Dallas was getting this incredible energy boost by their centers and they were blocking every shot. And it just felt unsustainable. Like they finished with 13 blocks, but I think a huge percentage of those came in the first half, but also the first three quarters. That's not something that's super sustainable. So when you're relying on that as your defensive sort of like your system it's really difficult to think that you're going to be able to carry that all the way through a game.
Yeah.
And so while normally it's like something offensive that you think is so incredibly, like, you know, that is not sustainable or is sustainable,
mm-hmm.
on the defensive side, you can have the same thing. You know, you can't bank on having like 17 steals in a game.
Yeah, that's an anomaly.
No, and one game you'll have 14 steals, and the next game you can have 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of the way it goes. That's why I think blocks are, well, first of all, they're not a true turnover. I think that the way that they were getting some of those blocks was great, but I also felt like if they didn't continue to sustain that, they wouldn't be able to hold on to the lead. And you're just watching OKC hang around, miss a bunch of wide open shots, and then boom, 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 boom,
yep.
Shots fell.
Yep.
Game over.
That was it. It played out exactly. The law of averages in all ways just kind of fell into place.
That's what it felt like.
Do you know how many combined blocks there were last night?
No.
22.
That's crazy.
22 combined blocks. The Thunder had 9. In 9 blocks in a game, you're like, wow, that's a lot of blocks. And the Mavs had 13.
Yes.
It's nuts.
Yeah, but you also felt like, first of all, like 14, well, like 7 of those blocks came against Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Like, he's too good of a player to keep running into the same exact thing. And what happened was he eventually changed his game. And that's kind of where I was at. I was watching it unfold.
It's been so fun watching him. Bless you. It's been so fun watching him figure it out as the playoffs have gone on. Just kind of slowly working his way into, because he's going to be their second guy on the perimeter.
Yep.
In the idealized version of the Thunder, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 1, Jalen Williams 2, and then Chet Holmgren 3 in terms of like scoring options. And Chet's really good. This is not to disparage Chet Williams. He's not going to have the ball in his hands as much. And Jalen Williams just kind of very slowly, as this series has gone on, figured things out, and as the Mavs have made adjustments to him, he's starting to make adjustments to them. But just an overall last night, Shai, 34-8-5. You can just pencil him in for 30. You know what you're getting. But then Jalen Williams, 14-9-6. Lou Dort had some big shots down the stretch. He went 17-8, and then Chet Holmgren, 18-9 with 4 blocks.
It's fun to watch them grow, like, right?
Yeah,
like, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's totally, it's like, it's almost like watching a child, like, trying to figure out how to walk.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how to stand up on their own, and they're all shaky.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they start to grow and get stronger, and you're like, oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, I totally feel like we're watching a team grow in front of our eyes. It's also why it's so important for teams to take these natural steps that we keep talking about the Kings. If the Kings would have jumped a step and got to the second round of the playoffs last year,
mm-hmm.
they probably would have won 50-something games this year. Like, the motivation, the change in mindset, everything, the level of, like, play would have lifted. Now, they didn't. And I think that, like, this entire season, they're caught in expectations. Now,
that's kind of, so hang on. So I want to hang on to that for a second. So you think that expectations got to them this year?
Yes.
But they wouldn't have had they gotten to the second round or the conference finals last year.
No, I think that they would have had a much better understanding of what expectations, the rising expectations that are the playoffs.
Interesting.
And how things change as you get into the playoffs. Mm. I really do think that they would have got through one of those, they would have had another breakthrough in their growth.
Interesting.
And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing like a breakthrough in the growth of the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's fun to watch because, like, you have no idea what they're going to look like until they get into a series. And sure enough, they look bad. And you know, everyone thought, uh-oh, they're on the ropes.
Yep.
And then you start watching them, like, systematically rely on who they are and what they do. Keep calm. Excellent coaching job.
Yes.
Absolutely spectacular coaching. They have a system to rely on. They have a personality to rely on. And what we're seeing them do is, sometimes they lose their way and they fall behind. Sometimes shots don't fall and they start to get a little clunky. But when they are at their best, they're very, very difficult, and they're super talented.
Yeah.
And that's what I think people, like, this is one of the most talented teams in the league, and they're young and they're going to be around for a decade. And that's why it's so imperative for the Kings to take this next step.
Yeah.
because that's who you're trying to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way. You're behind now. You fell behind the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. How do you get back in that discussion? It's not by adding, you know, two, you know, back into the rotation guys.
Yeah, an improved seventh and eighth man are not going to put the Kings in that spot.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just you're not going to have it. Like, you're not going to be able to take the giant leap in productivity nope. without making a substantial move.
The other impressive thing for me with the Thunder last night is their depth is part of what makes them so good. It's not just, hey, here's one superstar. Like, that's a little bit what it feels like with the Timberwolves. They're a good team, but really their ascension this postseason has been about Anthony Edwards. This is Anthony Edwards ascending into a superstar stratosphere that not that many players reach.
Yep.
With the Thunder, last night, fourth quarter, where they outscored the Mavericks 35 to 27. My goodness. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 7 shots. He goes 4 for 7. Jalen Williams, 7 shots. He goes 3 for 7. Lou Dort, 5 shots. He went 2 for 5. Chet Holmgren, 3 shots. He went 2 for 3. 10 points, 7 points, 8.7 points between them.
Hmm.
And that's just, it's such an even distribution. And Shai is obviously the guy. When they need a bucket, you saw it at the end of the game. They were up two, had a chance to really put it away late, and he had his little midi rim out. But outside of that, man, they are really, really good. And I was so ready to come in while watching that game last night. I was ready to come in today and be like, well, love what OKC is doing, but it's just they're not there yet. You know, the series probably. And then they battle back and win. And you're like, wow, that was a gutsy. That's what you expect like from a team like the Nuggets that's been there and been around.
Yeah.
Man, really it's kind of what you from OKC.
It's even what you expect from Dallas because yeah. Dallas is, they've got the stars. And to see them go 12 of 23 from the free throw line, Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was like, ooh, okay. So in a game that ended up 4-point game, he missed 13 free throws, or 11 free throws, including Luka misses one in the final yes. seconds that could have tied the game.
Yes,
it was like earth shattering. Like, what in the world is happening? And then to see Kyrie Irving, who's been really good,
mm-hmm.
but all of a sudden he looks like he plays for the New York Knicks, mm-hmm. and he's run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was bad. Just yeah. flat out in this game, he had 9 points on 4 of 11 shooting.
And 1 of 5 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he only had one turnover, but he just wasn't impactful at all.
Mm-mm.
And again, I think they're still fighting an identity crisis between this who Luka needs to become and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these games where it's like Luka feels like he has to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a huge mistake. We saw it last game where he gave in and allowed his teammates to succeed and mm-hmm. be, you know, spectacular. But in this one, it kind of felt forced a little bit again.
Yeah.
And again, that's his maturation as a player. And people have to remember he's only 25
mm-hmm.
and it's part of his growth. You know, he got to the conference finals a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they're a perennial. They didn't even make the playoffs last
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's a seasoned playoff veteran. He's not. It doesn't matter how good he is.
And the other deal with this, and I know I always bring up like crunch time and final 3 minutes, but that's what a lot of these games kind of come down to.
Yeah.
Is what are you doing the last, and that is something that you can't replicate in the regular season, where in crunch time, who is it? Who's it going to be here? Is it Kyrie? Is it Luka? Are we kicking it out to PJ Washington? Are we throwing a lob to Daniel? Like, these are things that you just kind of have to work out through the process. And I think you kind of saw it last night where, hey, nobody's really taking this game by the horns for Dallas. And it's like Luka's kind of waiting for Kyrie to do it. Okay, now he's going to do it, but he can't. Now Kyrie, it's just an odd final few minutes for Dallas in that one. I want to talk about PJ Washington specifically.
Okay.
And to a lesser extent, Daniel Gafford. PJ Washington's been incredible in this series, by the way. He had 21 more points last night, 5 of 11 from 3. He's been excellent beyond the arc. He's been, for the most part, pretty efficient. He had 12 rebounds last night. He had a block. Knowing what we know now, let me get his entire series stats here. Yeah, 29 in game 2, 27 in game 3, 21 last night, 7 of 11, 5 of 12, and 5 of 11 from 3. Knowing what you know now about how PJ Washington is performing in this spot, knowing what you know about Daniel Gafford and what he has meant for Dallas, really on both ends of the floor, he's been very good defensively altering shots, but then hanging out in the dunker spot, hustling, rebounding. A lot of the same qualities as like young JaVale McGee, but without the lack of coordination.
Okay.
Not as athletic either, but I really like Daniel Gafford a lot. Knowing what you know now, would you, if you were the Kings, have done what deals you needed to make to acquire those two players at the deadline? Like, do you think the Kings would still be playing basketball right now if they had them?
Well, I certainly think they would have given themselves a better shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's tough because just because they look good where they're at right now doesn't mean they would look great.
No doubt.
Playing for the Kings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I think that if Malik Monk was healthy, the Kings would have made it to the playoffs. Whether they would have won a first-round playoff series and made it to where they are now, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, I certainly think, like, Daniel Gafford, very specifically, he would play really, really well alongside Malik Monk.
I agree.
But the problem is he's going to be there for, like, 13 to 15 minutes a game mm-hmm. Because he cannot play the four, and that would really force you to play Sabonis at the four, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that that's a great idea.
Sure.
So I think situationally, the fact that they don't just have one of them, they have Derek Lively and they have and they have Daniel Gafford.
Similar style of players.
Yeah, they're basically the same player.
Yeah.
You know, same energy, they're coming in there, they're playing hard, they block shots, they rebound, they do the things that, you know, the Kings do need someone to do that, but they also need a guy who runs a system, which is something that, as of right now, they've got one, and that's Sabonis. But when it comes to PJ Washington, like, I've always liked PJ. I thought that there was a time when the Kings were interested in PJ Washington, trying to get him out of Charlotte, mm-hmm. but you kept hearing all of a sudden they want like two first-round picks for him and stuff, and you're like, wait, what in the world? So I always thought he would be a really good fit, but like, he's like a young, or at least he did in Charlotte, he looked mm-hmm. like a young Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very inconsistent like a Harrison Barnes, yep. where it's like 20, 20, 20, 4, 7, you know,
yeah,
8.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, where did you go for three games? So, yeah. I mean, he's the guy who put up 40 on the Kings, his career high at that point. It's probably still his career high. But then the next time they played him, he was totally gone. Even this mm-hmm. season, scored 17 in one game or 14 in one game and 7 a couple mm-hmm. of days later. Like, so, yes, I like him. Yes, I probably would have tried to get him, but I probably would have tried to get him when he was very affordable. He was at like $2.5 million a year for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, somebody go get him.
Yeah.
And then by the time you did, it was too late. And the Kings didn't have the assets to give up.
So that's kind of what, okay, so that's what I wanted to circle back to. I was asking you that just in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Because I tried to recreate the deals for Washington and Gafford, for PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. I don't want it to be confusing because Gafford came from Washington, but PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, it was two separate deals that the Mavericks made at the deadline. And this is why I didn't want to convey it like, wow, the Kings made a huge mistake, because I tried to recreate the deals and you really can't.
No.
Because Washington sent Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a 2027 first round pick to Charlotte for PJ Washington, and then second round pick this year, and then in 2028. And you can't, you can't include the 2027 first at the deadline.
Yep.
And then you would have had to make the money work. So even if you call it like Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell, and then you got to make the picks work. And then Daniel Gafford was Rashawn Holmes, and a 2024 first round pick for Daniel Gafford. So again, the Kings, remember, this is the deadline, so the Kings couldn't trade their 2024 pick.
They don't have those assets to get.
Right. They just, there's no, you can't do it without trading players that you're not, that weren't going to be involved.
Well,
so
that, and even like the Gafford deal, you have to look at it, and you, for the Kings, it doesn't make nearly as much sense as makes sense for Dallas, because Dallas
exactly.
trades for him and inserts him right into the starting lineup.
Yeah, they needed to not start Derek Lively anymore. Yeah,
that's not happening in Sacramento. He's not stepping onto the court and becoming a starter,
yep.
no matter what. So you're willing to give up a first-round pick for a guy who'd be a starter for you, and the Kings aren't.
Yeah,
they were never going to be that. If he was a power forward who did all of that stuff and who fit, then sure, you would consider a deal like that. But I think it's really difficult. Like, again, we can have hindsight and all that stuff, and it's worked out for Dallas. It worked out for Dallas because Dallas was void of talent before that trade. They were so top-heavy.
Yes.
And then they added two really good role players, and those role players are playing well, but... like, it's, again, it's hard to see how one of them would even step on the court for more than, you know, 5 or 6 minutes in a playoff series for the Kings and Gafford.
Oh, like, Gafford, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and would he give you more in that 5 or 6 minutes than Alex Len would? And the answer is probably not. So you're not going to give up a first round pick for it. Well, no, but I mean, that's what you have to look at, the amount of time he's going to play. Would there be enough of a difference between 8 minutes of Alex Len and 8 minutes of Daniel Gafford, 4 in each half.
Yeah.
No, not to give up a first round pick. So, yeah. And again, I like Gafford. And the thing I'll say about Gafford too, he came in the league as a stream bean and he really, really worked hard on his body and is filled out.
Yeah.
And so he's a guy who all of a sudden looks like a grown ass man, where when he was coming into the league, he was a stick figure.
He looked like Derek Lively.
Yeah. No, skinnier than Derek Lively.
He looked like Chet.
No, not like that. But young Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, like that's what he looked like coming into the league. And, you know, he's done a lot to work on his body.
Yeah. 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 So the Mavs are a ton of fun to watch. That series now tied 2-2 heading back to Oklahoma City. The Celtics beat the Cavs last night 109-102. No Donovan Mitchell for Cleveland. Honestly, shout out to Cleveland. They put up a way better fight in that game than I thought they were going to. Mm. Like, you knew they'd come out and maybe start hot. But They played really well through that entire game. Darius Garland was really good. And this is, again, I can't tell with the Celtics. Do I knock them for not beating the Cavs by 30 without Donovan Mitchell? Or do I give them credit for digging down and after Cleveland took a lead in the third quarter, for digging in and going, okay, hang on, we're not losing this game, and making the plays they needed to make down the stretch to hold off Cleveland on the road to take a 3-1 series lead? I can't decide.
It's a very, very difficult thing to look at and watch and go, okay, how do you judge them? But I'd also say that's a glimmer into what the Cavs would look like without Donovan Mitchell. And it kind of feels like Darius Garland needs that opportunity.
He was cooking. Yeah. He was really good.
And he was really good before Donovan got there. And then he's kind of taken a back seat, and it's tough. It's kind of like Tyrese and De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
It's like, could you find a better player to put alongside either one of those guys? Or would Garland make a lot more sense somewhere else?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But shout out to the Cavs. I'm with you on Isaac Okoro. That was a player I really liked going into the draft a few years ago. It was just, man, that is a big body, good defender. I think he's only 6'4", but plays bigger than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, if he can develop a little bit of an offensive game, he'd be a really good 3-and-D player, and he's just, that offensive game isn't
he's
there,
looking
man.
More and more like Michael Kidd Gilchrist than he is Andre Iguodala.
He's going to be one of those players that Ryan Russillo talks about this, like the players that you love irrationally, no matter how much they show you in the league who they are. Yeah. You're just going to keep being like, but what about a new... I think that's going to be an Isaac Okoro for me.
Probably.
Wherever he goes this offseason, or if he stays with the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell goes, I'm like, love this spot for him. He goes to Toronto and be like, oh, hey, Toronto, they developed Pascal Siakam. They developed OG. Here comes Isaac Okoro. When Isaac Okoro is the 12th man on the Pelicans in 10 years, and be like, hey, I kind of like this for him.
Yeah.
It's going to be me.
He's feeling much more like Stanley Johnson at this point.
Oh, God, no.
Just saying.
Don't do that to me.
Just saying.
Don't do that. I'm telling you how much I like this guy, and you're going to throw Stanley Johnson, Stockton Kings legend, Stanley Johnson
and
at me.
Very, very likable dude from everything I've heard.
Yeah.
Like, very, very nice guy.
Yeah, Arizona Wildcat. Bear down. Sorry, Ramsey. All right. We got to hit a break. We will... oh, my God. That was the first hour. Jeez. Okay.
Boom.
We'll continue talking NBA playoffs. We'll have good idea, bad idea coming up in the second hour. And, of course, we will have the handoff. It'll be Kenny Caraway today at 11:45-ish. All right, that's all coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.